very polite amount of $86,400. Anybody? The wheels are already turning. Okay, what can I do with that? What can I do with that? There's a few caveats, though, that come along with this. At $86,400, you've only got one day to use that. And at the end of that day, your bank account zeroes out. So what would you do with that $86,400? He then says, hey, I've got some other news. The day after that, I'm going to deposit the same amount of money into your account. But again, at the end of the day, it's going to zero out. So what's in the account, you have to spend on that day. Some of you, the wheels are already turning. You're going, wow, I can invest that. I can do something with that, right? $86,400 every day for at least a few days, right? We don't know how long that's going to last for. He just says, I'll keep doing it. But I don't know how long that's going to last for. So what am I going to do with that money? Because I want to use all of that money, don't I? I don't want to leave money in there that's just going to disappear at the end of the day, do I? So what would you do with that money? Hey, what would you do with that money?
Buy a couple houses.
That's his answer, not your answer, right? Buy a couple of houses with $86,400. That's good. Okay. Brock, what would you do? You can't take, I'd buy a couple of houses.
I'd buy silver.
Buy silver, right? You've been looking, and gold has gone through the roof right now. I don't know why you didn't buy gold, but you know, okay. So you'd invest in something that's enduring, right? Anybody else want to volunteer? Man, you guys, I'm just going to give all the money to them because nobody else wants to spend it. Andrew?
Right.
Pull the spiritual card out, right? Andy?
Buy a business,
okay. But we wouldn't want that money to just sit in there at the end of the day and disappear, would we? We'd take that money out, we'd invest it in something, we'd do something with that money. And we don't know when that's going to finish. It could last me the 2 days, because he's already said to me there's going to be 2 days worth, right? It could last me 10 days. It could last me 10 years. But we don't know when we're going to run out of that reoccurring amount of money. So we're going to be wise with that money. You know that we have 84,600 seconds in a day? How are you using those seconds? What are you choosing to do with your time? Are you investing it wisely? Are you using those seconds, those precious seconds? Because at the end of the day, you don't get back what you wasted, do you? You imagine if at the end of today, the seconds that you didn't use up just got tacked on to tomorrow? Right? Andrew's nearly 50 years old. Can you imagine how long his days would be? Right? But we don't get to do that, do we? Go ahead and look at Psalms with me. Psalm 90, verse 12. And you know this verse. Psalm 90, verse 12. And here's Moses. And he's writing this during the time where Israel is now wandering for 40 years aimlessly. They're wandering around. And here's what Moses says during that time. He says to God, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God, teach me to count each one of those seconds as precious. This is time that you've given me, God. It's time that I can use to glorify you. It's time that I can use to share the gospel with somebody else. It's time that I can use to invest in your kingdom. God, teach me to number my days. The Bible almost always addresses humanity in the now. Right? Almost always. The Bible addresses us in that way. If we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, don't go there. I'm going to move through a few. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Remember now thy Creator. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, it says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the time to take heed. Not someday over the horizon. Now is the time to hold out the gospel message to those around you, because we don't know how many seconds we've got left, how many seconds they've got. We're not to live lives dominated by the regrets of yesterday or the anxieties of tomorrow. Not to live as though you will always have a tomorrow in which to do the things that you should be doing today. Right? How many of us are procrastinators? Right? Bible Institute really makes that apparent, right? We tell you at the beginning of the year, this is what the paper is going to be, and this is how many words we expect, and what happens the night before, everybody's like, my hands are cramping, I'm trying to type so much, right? We procrastinate, we leave it right up into the last minute. You know, we're not meant to be like that as believers. We're meant to number our days. We're meant to count each second as precious. We're meant to consider each one of those seconds as given to us by God as a gift. And those are God's seconds, not just mine. And I should use those to glorify Him. We're to face the facts squarely. We're to face it head on. The future comes in at us at a rate of 60 seconds a minute. And what can I do with that time to glorify God? We press on. We don't wait. We don't know when Jesus will return. There's an urgency. There should be an urgency in our lives. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. What are you investing in now? What are you choosing to give time to now, that's glorifying to God, that's maturing you as a believer, that's growing you, and that's showing others around you how great God is? What are you investing in now? Because tomorrow you might not have that time. Mark 13, verses 32 to 37 says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Verse 33 says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is come." Take ye heed, watch and pray. Take ye heed, pay attention, watch and pray. "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore," that's you, "watch ye therefore," pay attention, count those seconds as precious, consider those seconds as belonging to God. God has invested those seconds in you. Use them wisely. "For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, or even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you." And Pastor talked about this on Sunday, he finds you sleeping. Instead of using the time wisely, I use the time poorly. We're going to see that in another verse just in a second here in Ephesians. Lest he find you sleeping. As a believer, I can think of nothing worse than Jesus calling me home to be with him whilst I'm in the middle of doing something that's not honoring to him. That's one of my greatest fears. Is that while I'm indulging in something selfish, God would come knocking and go, Phil, it's time to come home. What were you doing with your time? The time that I gave you. That precious time. Here's what Ephesians says. It says, if we're not redeeming the time, Ephesians 5, 15 to 20, says, see that you walk circumspectly or directly, accurately. Walk in a manner, as we see in Philippians, that represents who we are in Christ. Right? So walk circumspectly, not as fools, not as unwise person, not as somebody who doesn't know Christ, but as wise, redeeming. So what does redeeming mean? Redeeming means to purchase, to take ownership of something, to grab hold of it, to count it as precious. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. So what makes me unwise? Not redeeming the time. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many people have had asked me, hey, Phil, I just don't understand what God's will is for my life. And I ask them simple questions like, are you spending time in God's word? Are you spending time around believers that can help draw your heart to Christ? Are you spending time praying? Are you spending time studying and learning and growing and maturing in who you are as a believer? And how often those people go, oh, look, I've got to be honest with you, I really haven't spent much time reading my Bible. And my prayer life is a little bit off right now, and I don't have time to be around other Christians because I'm spending so much time at work, but I really want to know God's will. If you want to know God's will, use the time that He has given you, that He's invested in you wisely. Otherwise, we're considered unwise because we're not using that time, that precious time that He's given. Over and over again, we see throughout Scripture that the life of a follower of Jesus is defined by someone who redeems, who grabs hold of time, who treats it as precious, who masters his time, not masters for himself, he masters it to then surrender it to God. Over and over again, Scripture talks about that as a believer, our lives are to be surrendered to God. Our seconds are to be surrendered to God. Let's look at a couple of principles here of redeeming the time. And this isn't a self-help guide, right? You can go to any bookstore out there and get a self-help guide for how to, you know, be better with your time. Time management skills, right? You can all, and some of those are great. You know, make you get through the day better. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about using the time that God has given us to invest back into what God wants us to invest in. Right? So here's the first one. Get rid of comparisons. If I want to use the time that God's given me wisely, get rid of comparisons. Beware of wanting to be like someone else. Don't waste time comparing yourself to someone else. You don't know what's happened in their life. You don't know what sin they're struggling with. You don't know what they've lost. You don't know what they've gone through to get to where they are. Don't waste your time wanting to be someone else, comparing yourself to someone else. The real question is, how can I be the fullest? How can I be the most God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-saturated, loving, gospel-centered, gospel-advancing person that I can be in who I am in Christ? Not how can I be more like Andrew? I'm just going to watch Andrew. I'm going to spend time with Andrew because I want to be like Andrew. And you know what? Andrew's got some great qualities, some great, the whole bread thing, you know, maybe we'll leave that alone, right? But Andrew's got some great qualities, and that's not wrong for us to go, you know what, there's some strengths there, but I don't want to attach my identity to who Andrew is. I want to attach my identity to who I am in Christ and then use that to grow and mature. I can learn from Andrew, but I'm not comparing myself to Andrew. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. We're going to compare ourselves. If we're going to align ourselves with anyone, that's where we should be going. Looking unto Jesus. Don't measure yourself by others. Measure yourself by who you are in Christ. Measure yourself by your potential in Christ. Right? So the first one, get rid of comparison. Second one, listen to your own advice. Right? And now you're looking at it and going, oh, probably, you know, Danny's saying to himself, I probably shouldn't listen to my advice, right? I want you to listen to your own advice 10 years from now. 10 years from now, or 315,360,000 seconds from now, right? If that investment is still coming into your bank, that's how much money you would have. What advice would you give to yourself about what you're choosing to do, how you're choosing to invest your time now? If I could go back to myself 10 years ago, what would I say to Phil? What things could I say to Phil that are going to help him to use his time better? Hey, Phil, these are some things in your life that are just not honoring to God. And it might be a small thing now, but in 10 years' time, that's going to be something you really struggle with. Deal with it now, Phil. Get your heart right with God now, Phil, so that in 10 years' time, you're not spending so much of God's time on that thing. What are the things in your life that if you were to go back and speak to yourself, give yourself advice, you go deal with that now? 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's not making excuses. He's not going, well, I am what I am, right? He's going, I am what I am. God invested in me, and I am what I am now because God poured out in me. And guess what? God wants to pour out in you right now, in the time that you have right now. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Hey, God's grace that was bestowed on you, how much of it have we wasted? How much time have I let slip by? Precious time have I let slip by? I don't want to say, when I stand before my God, that time was in vain. I wasted that on you, Phil. Here's the next one. Number three, focus on great possibilities. If you want to treasure time, focus on great possibilities. 10% of our focus should be spent avoiding obstacles. 90% should be on pursuing great things for God. How often do we spend our time making excuses? Oh God, I'm just not the right person for that. God, I don't have the money for that. God, I don't have the courage for that. God, I don't have the knowledge for that. God, you got the wrong person. God, right? Yeah, we're going to have those moments, and that should be the 10%. The 90% should be, God, this isn't me, and I'm struggling in this. I'm struggling to understand how you're going to use me in this. But 90%, God, I'm just going to trust you because I know you are a great God, and I want to be used by you. And I'm going to step out in faith. I think often we spend 90% of our time looking at the obstacles and 10% of the time perhaps giving time to God. If we're going to use our time wisely, we need to focus on great possibilities. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Now look at the next part. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Hey, I didn't have everything and I don't understand it all, but I'm going to commit everything I've got because I know God's got my back and I just want to live for him. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Don't measure possibilities by the obstacles or the perceived shortcomings in your own life. Measure possibilities by the potential that you have in Christ. You're made for more than regrets. You're made for more than bitterness. How often we sit in that place, right? You're made for more than your own dreams. Hey, when you realize that your own dreams are so, I don't even know a word to describe really small. People use like an infinitesimally, so small. Andrew, give me a big word, please. So small. When we realize that our dreams are so small compared to God's dream for us, God's purpose for us, when we realize that, man, we start to cherish time. We start to realize how precious time is. We start to look for great things because we have a great God. You are made for everything that God has for you. And what God has for you is greater than you can ever imagine. Find your purpose in serving Christ. Find your purpose, spend your time serving Christ. If you want to be fulfilled in life, if you want joy in life, if you want satisfaction in life, spend your time serving Jesus. Philippians 1:20, according as my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. As I look back over the seconds that have already passed, that have gone out of that zeroed bank account. How often do we look back and go, man, I wish I had invested more in the things of God and less in those things. It's not about just doing good things. It's not about this often feeling that we have when we're in Christian community that I've got to do something that's seen to be doing something for God. It's not about that. It's about me wanting Christ to be magnified in my body. I want God to be magnified in my body. What's magnified mean? What's magnified mean? Right? So I want God to be made bigger in me so that when people look at me, they don't see Phil, they see a really big, really great God. Is that what we want? Is that what we're investing our time in? How we look to others? Let me give you the last one. If we're going to cherish our time, if we're going to protect our time, if we're going to, as the psalmist said, if we're going to learn to number our days, we need to destroy half-heartedness. I think sadly often half-heartedness sits in our churches. We go to work and we give and we sacrifice and we put so much into it. When we come to church, when we come to serving, when we come to sacrificing in a space like this, so often we're giving God just the leftovers. I'm giving God what I've got left of my energy. I'm giving God what I've got left of my passion. I'm giving God what I've got left of my finances. I'm giving God what I've got left of my time. I'm giving to God half-heartedly. And as believers, if we're going to manage our time well in a manner that glorifies God, we have to destroy half-heartedness. Matthew 25, 14 through 30, we have this story, and he gave to one person 5 talents. You remember this? He gave to another 2, and he gave to another one, just 1. And when it came to the call of the account, the person with 1 heard those awful words that I hope never to hear. Matthew 25, verse 26. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have strawed. God's invested time into you. Out of that time, how much are we giving back to God? Or are we like that servant? Wicked and slothful. I'm not investing in the time that God gave. I don't count that time as precious. You are uniquely gifted by God, for God. Each person, each one of us is uniquely gifted by God, for God. You know, when we look at Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship, and we should walk in those things that He's given to us, that He's invested in us. I actually lied to you a second ago. I have one more point. Here's the last one. I better scroll down and check that I don't have any others. No, it's only the last one, right? Tether everything to Christ. Tether everything to Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, you've heard this before, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father by him. Go down to verse 23, and he says almost the same thing. And so whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not under men. But sandwiched in the middle of that, he hits at almost every aspect, and it touches on all of us here. Talks to wives, talks to husbands, talks to children, talks to servants, talks to masters. In every one of those spaces, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come back to Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. God, I want to count time as precious. I want to invest in what you would have me invest my time in. So God, teach me to number my days. Teach me to count those seconds as precious, as investments from you. Get rid of comparisons, look to Jesus. Listen to your own advice. I don't want to waste what God has given me. Focus on great possibilities. Your greatest possibilities lie in who you are in Christ. Find your passion in serving so that Christ will be magnified and glorified in your body. Destroy half-heartedness. Or his workmanship. I am God's workmanship. Have you ever said that to yourself? I am God's workmanship. His handiwork. And he's got something great for me. Last one, tether everything to Christ. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord. Not for one another, but as the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Father, you invest so much in us. Father, there's nothing in me that deserves that. There's nothing in any one of us here that deserves that. We don't deserve your grace, your mercy, your love. Father, we don't deserve the passion that you pour out on us. Father, you have given each of us as believers here something in Christ that we never had before, and that's life. And that's time to then reinvest in what you would have us reinvest in. So, Father, teach each of us to number our days. Teach us to count the time that we have as precious. Give us a desire to mature and to grow and to become believers that can better honor and better glorify you. Father, you deserve all the glory and all the honor. In your name, amen.